The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill,' and 'Whoever kills will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce.' But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So now, once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. You know, they asked us to do the Bishop's Lenten Appeal during Mass, in the place of the homily. So, isn't it nice? It's kind of out of the way, right? I mean, it's a necessary thing, but it's nice to have it out of the way. So a little tiny thought for you here this morning. Somewhere over in Rome, there's a guy whose job it was to decide what readings we would hear every week on Sunday, okay? Whoever that guy is, he doesn't have to preach a homily on Sunday, right? I'm absolutely certain of that. Because if he did, he would never have put this much into one week. It's impossible to try to go over all of this. You could meditate on this for the rest of your life. No exaggeration, okay? And this on a Bishop's Lenten Appeal week in which I'm trying to keep a little bit briefer. Let me just give you a couple of umbrella concepts that cover most of what was said in here, and hopefully you find it helpful. The Catholic Church exists to take flawed, fallen, broken human persons and transform them into saints. That's what we're all about. If all you want is to be a nicer person, or a better neighbor, or a more virtuous employer, you don't really need the Catholic Church. All you need is the self-help section of any decent bookstore. Okay, but the God who made you knows what you're capable of. He knows the heights to which it's possible for us to rise. That's why we hear what we hear from Jesus in the gospel this week. This is the highest standard of morality that's ever been proclaimed by anyone in any religion in all of history. And this week we hear Jesus proclaim its most basic premise. Unless your holiness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So who were the Pharisees? I'm going to make a real long story real short and say that the Pharisees were a reform movement in Judaism who emphasized keeping the law of God right down to the last letter. Now, there's nothing wrong with keeping the law of God right down to the last letter. It's just that when they were at their worst, the Pharisees reduced Judaism to the keeping of rules. I think you can sometimes paint with a broad brush and get this wrong. They weren't all bad people, right? St. Paul was a Pharisee, for goodness sakes. They weren't all bad people. But when the Pharisees were at their worst, they reduced the Jewish religion to the keeping of rules. And the trouble with reducing religion to the keeping of rules is that it doesn't take long for us to ask, well, if all I have to do is keep the rule to make God happy, well, then what's the least I have to do to keep this rule? It quickly devolves into minimalism. It's first cousin of one of the most common questions is asked of every priest. People say, hey, Father, how far can I go before this becomes a sin? Right? People say that all the time in one form or another. How far can I go before this becomes a sin? Well, you know, there's no answer to that question. There's no answer to that question because our God is a God of love. And love never asks, what's the least I have to do for you? Okay, that's why we hear Jesus speak the way he does today, taking each one of the Ten Commandments and telling us that the desire to break the commandment already violates the commandment. Of old it was said to you, you shall not kill. But I say to you, anybody who grows angry with his brother is going to be liable to judgment. Of old it was said to you, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, anyone who looks on a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Even the desire to go out and break the commandment, if you possibly could, is already a violation of the commandment. It's the highest level of morality that's ever been proclaimed because it goes right down to the level of the heart, like our Lord said. Interesting word, heart. The Greek word is cardia, which should sound familiar to all of you. You've heard of cardiovascular health and cardiac surgery. Cardia. It's just that when the Bible uses the word cardia or heart, it doesn't refer to this great big muscle that's in the middle of our chest, but rather to that seat of decision making that's at the depths of each one of our souls. And this is important. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter whether you are wealthy or poor. It doesn't matter your life circumstances, your disadvantaged upbringing, no matter what it might be. Everybody has at their heart of hearts freedom to do what they choose. And you choose to either think of others or think of yourself. You choose either to keep God's commandments or to break God's commandments. At the heart of our hearts, each one of us is making choices all day long to do good or to do evil. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about emotions, not talking about feelings, not talking about memories, not talking about temptations. You'd be amazed how many people there are who think that you know, if they're tempted that they're committing a sin. No, we're talking about a free choice, which is why you heard in the first reading from Sirach, if you wish, you can keep the commandments. To behave faithfully is within your power. Before man are life and death, good and evil, whichever he chooses will be given him. So much for excuses, right? See, all day long what we're doing is we're choosing our character. Now, it's interesting. As you sit right now, or stand as the case may be, each one of us at this moment is, morally speaking, we are the sum total of all the free choices we've ever made. The good ones, the bad ones, add them all up, hit the equal sign. Morally speaking, that is who you are. Because when I make a free choice, right, I'm not just choosing an action. I'm actually choosing my character. Such that, let's say, I make a decision to be honest when it's tough to be honest. And I'd really like to fudge the truth or fib. And I make a decision to be honest instead. I actually become different after making that decision. It becomes part of my character. And it makes it easier for me to be honest the next time. And if I keep making honest after honest choices, I actually become, at the level of my being, I become an honest person. It's your character. Unfortunately, the same thing works in reverse. I fudge the truth, exaggerate, tell a blatant lie. You know what becomes easier the next time? A blatant lie or fudging the truth. It becomes easier to repeat the decision that we've made. And if I keep telling lie after lie after, I become a liar. I become, at the level of my being, a dishonest person. The word is character. Now, it's interesting. It's actually a Greek word, character. They just pronounce it charakter. But what's interesting about the word character, as you'll find it in the Bible, is that it refers to something that's engraved into you, or engraved into something. A good image for what this might be is like branding a cattle. You know, a rancher will take a brand and they'll brand their cattle, and it sinks in deep and becomes something etched on to the cattle. And why? To show you who the cattle belongs to. In a sense, with our free decisions, we are choosing, one choice at a time, who we belong to. Do we belong to the Lord? Do we belong to the truth? Or do we belong to the evil one? Do we belong to a lie? It's a very, very high standard of morality to live up to. The definition of holiness is when we choose what the Lord would choose. What we think is what Jesus would think. What we say is what Jesus would say. What we do is what Jesus would do. Our will and God's will in perfect parallel. That's the goal. That's what our Lord is trying to lead us to. And you could ask, gosh, you know, who could ever possibly live up to a standard that high? I mean, I'm only human, I'm frail. Would you believe Jesus actually answers that question for us in the gospel's opening line? He says, don't think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish. I have come to fulfill. Now think about that and hear that again. Who fulfills all the commandments of God, all the law and all the prophets? Jesus does. And this work of holiness is not so much our project as his project in us. One of my favorite little things to say is that holiness is not achieved. Holiness is received. And the way we receive it is by those little choices, little cooperations. Every time you say yes, God strengthens you to make another yes. You want to know why? Because God is not a mathematician. He's not a lawyer. He's not an engineer. God is a lover. And what happens when a lover sees someone making a motion towards them? They reach out all the more. And it becomes easier and easier and easier for us to embrace our Lord and his will all the more. Unfortunately, that one works in reverse too. The more we oppose what the Lord is asking of us, the harder it becomes and the further away we drift from him. And at the end of all this, please God, we become fit to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven, I think, is a very misunderstood thing among a lot of people. I think a lot of people think that heaven is like this reward that God gives you for being good at the end of your life. You know, like you might give a kid a candy. Here you go, kid. You did good. Here's your reward, right? God's like that with heaven. Here you go. You did good. Here's your reward. That's not what we believe. Holiness is a process. And with every time we choose the Lord's will and welcome his grace, we get changed. We become more and more, please God, and more like the Lord, such that at the end of all this, heaven's where you belong. It's where you fit. So it's not like God can, you know, let you into heaven same as he'd give you a ticket to an amusement park. Here you go, now you can get in. No, that's something we're choosing. One step at a time, one choice at a time. That's why it's so very important that we strive, repent, pray, and persevere. St. Catherine of Siena once said, if you became everything that God intended you to become, you'd set this world ablaze. Let's light that fire. God's grace awaits your yes. Amen.